the back pain started when I had, you know, like I said, I had a new baby. And, you know, with Dr. Sarno, with all his books, you know, he said that, you know, that's one of the top ones of new stresses in your life that can kind of drive you nuts.
Well, that's true, but you had a lot of anxiety even before that.
Before
started.
That, yeah.
I'm assuming that there was some way of relating with yourself that your mind is rebelling against.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't do, you know, I don't do any of that stuff. I just, when I'm not busy or not able to exercise, I kind of go bananas. So maybe
Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and everything I do, like, you know, the perfectionism and the, you know, if someone doesn't do something that I ask them to do, I do it. You know, it's just kind of put it all on me.
You know, we're talking about ways that you can be relating to yourself that bring this up, and you talk about being perfectionistic, putting a ton of pressure on yourself like it's a normal way to be treated. How old is your kid now, 2?
I have 3.
You have three kids.
Right. Yeah, 14, 4, and 2.
All right. And do
so, yeah,
do you,
2 years back pain.
Do you put a ton of pressure on them? Like you need to get all A's or else?
No, but it's definitely a lot of, you got to do it my way or I'm going to be upset.
I see.
You know what I mean? Even with the little ones.
Yeah. So, you know, it seems like the way that you treat yourself is like you're a drill sergeant.
Right.
It even spills over to your kids.
And the crazy thing is when I'm teaching as a teacher, I'm very, very patient and lenient and, you know, I'm not that way with my students. Yeah.
So you have the capacity to act patiently and lovingly and with more care and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't use that when you're dealing with your own self.
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, I guess what I'm searching for is, you know, a way, someone to give an example of a way that, you know, they got rid of all this so that it can be the same, you know, it can be my way to get rid of all this. You know what I mean? Like
you're looking for intellectual techniques. You're looking for ways to eliminate the pain and get back to the way things were. Your body doesn't want to get back to the way things were. Your body does not like being treated like a drill sergeant. I mean, no wonder you know, it's so difficult being by yourself without having an activity. When you're having an activity, you can at least be in the moment and the drill sergeant in your head backs off a little bit.
Yeah.
But as soon as you're by yourself, boom, you know, you're in the Army, you're in the Marines, you're exposed to this drill sergeant in your head that's telling you more, more, better, better. And it's not about getting rid of these symptoms. It's about listening to the symptoms and learning to relate to yourself in a different way. I mean, you're talking about treating yourself like a drill sergeant, like it's okay. You know, it sounded like you took so much pride when you said, when I talk to my students, I'm compassionate and I'm patient and, you know, I'm caring with them, and it seems like, you know, you're capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not feel like you deserve to be treated that way?
I don't know. And like, you know, this has really caused me to go back and think about lots of things in my life. And, you know, a lot of this, I heard a lot of stories stemming from, like, childhood stuff. You know, my parents were very compassionate, great, wonderful parents. I can't see anything in my childhood that would make me be this way. So I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I don't know where this came from, you know, but I definitely, and even in school or college, you know, I didn't have to get straight A's. I didn't have to be the best at everything. I just had to be good.
Well,
you know,
so
I wasn't even a perfectionist.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we had more time, we could look into what happened when you were young to I don't know, or somewhere along the lifespan to trigger treating yourself like this. But just for right now, I think that the most important thing is, like, do you care that you treat yourself like this? You know, I think what you're saying is, I want all these symptoms to go away so I could just go on, live my life, and be awful to myself. You know, I mean, do I think that the first thing is to just, like, you know, look in the mirror, metaphorically or, you know, actually, and ask yourself, do I deserve to be treated with such relentlessness? Do I deserve to be treated in this way where I'm not this, like, nurturing, loving caretaker to myself, but I'm, you know, this pressure monger where I scare myself, where I tell myself, you have to do this or else? It's a hard way to live, Brandon.
Yeah, and one thing that's been bothering me, with getting the surgery and stuff during the summer is I feel guilty that, I haven't done that as much during the summer with my family. I didn't go on
God,
any
look at this. It's
vacations.
like even post-surgery, you're sitting there beating yourself up, tearing yourself down, telling yourself you're not doing enough. It's mean.
That's the biggest part of my thought process when I'm
It's
by
mean.
myself this summer,
I mean,
Darren.
does that strike you as a cruel way of treating yourself?
Well,
I'm
now that
sitting here
we're
thinking, yeah, this poor guy got shoulder surgery. He's in pain. He's shrouded in anxiety, and he's recovering. And you're sitting there and taking that same information and saying, yeah, you lazy asshole, get with it. I mean, man, no wonder you have this much anxiety. I mean, anyone would, living being subjected to that kind of treatment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I there are times where I'm sitting there and I'm saying, why am I constantly thinking these things? Why can't I just have a summer where I chill out? Why do I have to be
Yeah.
worried about everybody else?
Do you ask yourself that, like, compassionately or, like, step to it?
Right. It's
Like,
probably more
just
like,
another,
hey, idiot. Right. Yeah.
yeah, just another thing that you're doing wrong. It's mean. You know, I again, these symptoms, they're not your enemy. They're not something to be stamped out or eliminated. I know it can feel like that sometimes because they're so painful to live with, but a lot of times they're trying to steer you. It's like a seeing eye dog, you know. It's like there's a therapist in LA who talks about it, a phrase that I love. It's like a lighthouse in the night. It's shining a light on something that you can't see. And I'm sitting here talking to you, and man, I mean, you're a football coach. I played football in high school. Like, it's, you know, like, practices suck. The coaches are just pushing you and run and faster, and I don't care if you're tired, and it's no way to treat yourself, you
That's
know,
it's
in
almost
real
like I'm
life.
coaching myself.
Yeah. You don't need a coach, Brandon. You need someone to take care of you. You need someone to treat you like a human being. I mean, you said that your mom was really, like, or your parents were really compassionate and loving. Do you remember when you were young and you would, like, fell down and scraped your knee, or you were really upset about something? What it was like for your mom to just, like, take care of you and nurture you? How did that feel?
Great.
Why would you rob yourself of that from, you know, if you didn't know how to be compassionate, if you didn't know how to be nurturing, you know, the first step would be to teach you. But you already know how. It sounds like you're, like, this very cool, laid back, nurturing teacher. You're just withholding it from yourself.
Yeah, I'm giving it to everybody but myself.
You're giving it to everyone but yourself.